Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax. In this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be getting the latest stuff. This is going to be a hot code push is what I wanted to call it. Wes wanted to call it get the latest. And I think that's what we're going with.
Hot code push was cool, but it didn't make sense what that was.
It's a little too much. For those of you who don't know, hot code push was like a name for a hot module reloading at some point. And I think people were just like, this name's a little weird. I actually don't know the history there. But either way, what we're going to be doing in this episode, which is potentially going to be a reoccurring segment, is we're going to get you the latest stuff of all the new stuff that's coming out, the hot new tech. This is August for 2021. This is some new stuff that's come out over the past couple of months. Since this is the first episode that we've ever done like this as a hasty, we're probably going to be covering some stuff that came out, you know, a couple months ago or a month ago, just to cover our bases on that stuff. But if you enjoy this format, let us know, and we will bring these more to you more frequently. The idea here is that we just talk briefly and introduce you to some new and exciting things that have come out that we're excited about or interested in. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado, and with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody. I'm excited. There's some really neat stuff here, and often we get asked the question, why didn't you talk about X, Y, or Z? And the answer usually is we either have, and you didn't listen to the episode, or we just don't have an entire episode to dedicate to something like that, even though it's kind of nice to chat about it for 5 minutes. So that's what we're going to do today. We've got some really cool stuff.
Cool. Before we kick it off, let's get into some of our sponsors. We have FreshBooks and Sentry. Wes, you want to kick it off with FreshBooks, and I'll talk about Sentry.
FreshBooks is cloud accounting software where you can log all your invoices. You can send them to your clients. You can send automatic late payment reminders. You can hook it up with your bank and import all of your expenses automatically. You can track all of your time. If you are a freelancer, small business, anybody who's accepting money from a client and you need to get your books in order, use FreshBooks at freshbooks.com/syntax for a 30-day unrestricted free trial. No credit card required. Make sure you use syntax in the how did you hear about section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for sponsoring.
Sick. And this episode is also sponsored by Sentry at sentry.io. Now, Sentry is the perfect place to not only track all of your errors and exceptions, but keep a long running tally about the performance of your website and be able to be delivered to you where you get a listing of all of the routes on your site and how slow or fast they are based on how many people have used them. You even get like a user misery score, which is like, okay, 100 people have visited this page and 90 people of this had a slow experience. This page, pretty dang miserable. You better get to work on this page. There is something going on here. You're shipping too much JavaScript. So head on over to Sentry at sentry.io. Sign up today. Take advantage of all those performance tracking tools as well as all of their errors and exception handling tools that they're known for. All of that great stuff and more using the coupon code at TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word. And you will get 2 months for free. All right, let's get the latest stuff. We're going to be starting off with the number one thing that's going to steal your job. Mr. Steal Your Job, it's GitHub Copilot. Now, GitHub Copilot is basically AI-powered auto-completion is the way I like to think about it. And it did cause a bit of a tizzy when it was released for a number of reasons. But basically what this thing does is it uses open source code that's on GitHub to learn about how code should be. And when you write your code, it gives you more advanced auto completion and then sometimes can really do a whole ton of stuff. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a GitHub star, okay? So I got early preview of this thing and I've been using it for a little while here, maybe about a month. And it's very funny, when I was recording my last tutorial series, I had to be careful to shut it off because I didn't want anybody to see it. I wasn't allowed to show it off, but it has done several things. It has impressed me very, very much. Sometimes I was writing some almost like a switch statement in Svelte. It's not as it's just an if else, but like I'm writing like a show this view kind of thing. And it correctly predicted every single one of the if statements by basis of my TypeScript stuff. And like I wrote one if this, and then I started to type else this, and it was like, oh, you're trying to do an if else for everything in this specific, you know, string union type. And it just filled it all out for me. And you know what? That was pretty dang impressive. But some people are a little concerned that this thing is going to be so impressive that it will steal your job. And I gotta say, no, it is basically like autocomplete. You still need a programmer's hand to understand and craft this stuff. And for the most part, it's not even perfect. So you got to know what you're doing to use this in the first place. It's not going to steal your job, but it is really cool. There are some pretty significant ethical concerns of somebody described its using other people's code as being like code laundering. And that is kind of iffy to me as well. I don't know how I feel about that just yet. Wes, thoughts on Copilot?
Yeah. First of all, I'm not popular enough to get access to it yet. So somebody at GitHub, please hook me up. So I haven't tried it yet, but I have tried a couple of the other AI ones in the past. And it is nice. It's kind of like spell check on your phone. When you correct something or it goes to the wider, you type a word that is like a trademarked or copyright. If you type iPod or something, it will autocorrect it to the correct spelling. Generally, spelling and search, those things have gotten significantly better because of AI. And that is the next natural step is the autocompletion in your actual code editor. So I'm really excited about that. I'm excited for like smart autocompletion to come. Because like the other day I was typing something and it was suggesting me opera CSS prefixes. And I was like, what the hell is going on where like a 9-year-old, the opera hasn't even been a browser with -o prefixes in like 9 years. Like, why is this still a thing? And I was thinking like, all right, how do I take this out? And I was like, that's not the way to fix all of this stuff. You don't have to like continually be tweaking the auto-completion, it should be smart about it based on your existing code, open source code, all that stuff. So I'm pretty excited about this. It's just another helping hand in building your applications.
Yeah, it's like your little robot friend that makes it so you don't have to type as much. I'm in.
Next thing we have here is Next.js 11 got announced a couple of weeks ago, and probably by the time you're listening to this, about a month and a half ago. A whole bunch of performance updates, some stuff to NextScript, which for loading third-party scripts, that's always been a pain point of mine, is how do you load third-party scripts into a React application? So make it easier with that. Some updates to NextImage brings it closer to what Gatsby offers up, which is really exciting to me. Plus, like NextImage also allows you to use remote images, which is something Gatsby doesn't do. Love that. Create React app migration, not a big one for me, but that's helpful for a lot of people. Webpack 5, again, not a big deal to me because I just use whatever Next uses. And then they announced this thing called Next.js Live, which we talked about on a couple past episodes as well. I won't go too much into that.
Yeah, I think Next continues to be the way to use React if you want server-side rendering. Next.js 11 continues their excellence. Next up is Astro at astro.build. Now, this is a really interesting tool that it was funny when it came out, people were kind of like another new thing. And like, I don't share that mentality. I love new things. I think new things are pushing us forward. But Astro seems really super neat. Basically, it allows you to ship less JavaScript using all of the frameworks you know and love, whether that is React, Vue, Svelte, any of that stuff. And you can just use them. And what it does is it does more on the server side and ships less to the client side. And, you know, we often talk about these islands of interactivity, and they say that directly. A quote from their website, if most sites only have islands of interactivity, shouldn't our tools optimize for that? And so Astro's whole deal is basically taking your site that you're writing in JavaScript right now and saying, hey, do you really need all this stuff? It's Bad Santa, or the guy from Bad Santa being, you know, do you really need all this stuff? Wes, do you ever see Bad Santa?
I think so, yes.
It's a fantastic movie. But you know, it's the same idea. Like, do you really need all this JavaScript? I don't know. I don't think so. And so Astro is just one more step forward in that direction. Not to mention you can use any front-end framework of your choosing. So, hey, I haven't given it a try yet. It's from the folks at Snowpack. And, you know, that means I'm in. I got to try it. But I haven't yet. So maybe I'll... Maybe once I get settled in my new office, I'm going to start doing some live streams where I can try out some new stuff. And maybe I'll do some Astro live streams and give it a whirl.
Next up is the Notion API. Finally, Scott talked about using a third-party API for his website probably over a year ago, but now Notion has a first-party API in beta testing. You can grab your database, you can query stuff, you can list stuff. And given how flexible Notion is and how the speed, like a lot of like my complaints about Notion were both the API and it was getting slow. Those things are slowly starting to go away, which is exciting because of how of a flexible a tool Notion is. And now out the other end, you can also use the API. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm excited to see what developers use this for, because Notion is almost like both like a database and a CMS that you could use for very simple projects or even a blog.
Yeah. You know, we use Notion for a lot of internal documents, but like even like the, we have like our level up tutorials creator, not our form, but like our level up tutorials creator thing that says, hey, if you're creating a course for level up tutorials, here's your guide, right? That's in Notion right now. But wouldn't that be really cool if we could just say, let's just grab that information straight up from Notion via the API and just throw it on the website. And that would be really easy to keep that up to date. So I'm going to give this a rip. It looks like it does everything you'd want, gets a database, queries a database, pages, blocks, users. So I haven't tried it yet, but I'm excited to. Now, this is another new one. It's called Petite View, or as Wes thought, I was going to slaughter that name because apparently my pronunciation isn't very good on things. But Petite View is this kind of new thing that just...
Both of us.
Yes, both of us. That really just started popping up here. And you know what? I hadn't really looked into too much of this before the show started recording. And really what it says, it's an alternative distribution of a view, as in Vue.js, the front-end framework, optimized for progressive enhancement. It provides the same template syntax and reactivity mental model and with standard view. However, it is specifically optimized for sprinkling in small amounts of interacting in existing HTML page rendered by a server framework. So I don't know if you're noticing a theme here, but people are really starting to say less JavaScript, please. And I think these tool makers are really starting to come with their next generation of stuff that ships less JavaScript. So, you know, this is pretty neat. I saw their example showed just some straight up HTML and including Petite View as just a script on the page. So there was no build steps whatsoever. And they were still using the view like attribute tags inside of their HTML syntax for interactivity. Let me tell you, that seems pretty neat. I mean, we're all caught up in our build steps right now, but like, hey, that could be really a cool idea if you just want to get going on some stuff. You know, I think about this. I have an iPad Pro, and it would be really neat to fire this up in just some sort of small environment on that, without needing to worry about configuring up a build step or anything. You're just tweaking some JavaScript and some HTML.
Yeah, this is really exciting for people who have server-side rendered applications or people who want to stick to server-side rendered applications and you still want interactivity added to it. So you can still render out in your PHP app or in your Jade templates, just the syntax. This is kind of similar how we used to do Angular, where you would just start writing the Angular templates inside of your server-side rendered, except that you don't need like a root for this. You can literally put it anywhere on the page and you can start sprinkling it on. The big one right now for this type of thing is Alpine.js, which is kind of the same idea. Is like, I just want to add interactivity to a few spots on the website. So that's pretty cool that they rolled this out, especially people who have existing view components or pieces that are needed.
Totally.
Next one we have here is Stack Blitz. I saw this pop up a whole bunch of times. They actually even emailed us to ask to come on the show. So let us know if you want that kind of show to happen. If you work at Stack Blitz, please don't make your people spam us. We will find that out. But this seems so cool. Node in the browser. They launched it at Google I/O and it's part of Chrome. And it seems to be like next generation IDE, meaning that you can run all of your code, including a backend in the browser. And this is not like a code sandbox or something like that, where it's running on a remote server and you're streaming those changes in. It's literally just running in the browser. So I would kind of like to have them on the show just to ask, how did you do that?
How did you do that? First question, how do you do that?
It's pretty cool. So I am excited about that. I think that this is eventually where tools like CodePen and Code Sandbox and Glitch will go, as well as I'm very curious to see if VS Code will go this route as well, because it's like one step closer to iPad coding or like very lightweight coding in the browser.
Totally. Next up on our list is Solid.js, which isn't exactly new as a thing, but it did just hit version 1, which is a big thing to celebrate. Solid.js is a declarative JavaScript library for creating user interfaces. It does not use a virtual DOM. Instead, it opts to compile templates down into real DOM nodes and wrap into fine-grained reactions. So if you listen to that and you've ever used Svelte, that sounds a lot like Svelte. Now, what this looks like syntax-wise is it looks like React. So the way I see this is it's kind of like if you want the compile-away framework of Svelte, but you like the syntax of React more than the syntax of Svelte, then check out Solid.js. I have not used this yet, but I've been keeping an eye on it for a while here. And Ryan, the creator of it, I follow him on Twitter, and he's always sharing really cool things about this. This is one of those frameworks that I like because the API isn't too crazy. It's not something that you've never seen before or something totally new that you have to learn. In the same regards, you get a lot of these modern benefits, the things that people are seeing by using Svelte and really enjoying from that. So check it out.
Next one is the folks behind XState have formed a company called Stately, and it looks like they are making an app to... Remember when we had David on the podcast and we're like, you have this visual editor, this visualization of your state machine, but like, where's the app where you can just drag and drop and add stuff? And it looks like that's what they are building. I'm very curious about this. I also wonder if this will be a front end for drag and drops. I have no idea, but I bet that this thing that they're building will both be like a state machine, but it also be a UI for building sort of GUI logic, which is a hard part of the no code movement right now. And that's usually where a lot of that no code stuff starts to break down. Mm. But if they can solve that piece of the puzzle of making application logic visual, that would be pretty neat. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they roll out.
Totally, especially when you consider like people's biggest complaint about something like XState would be that it's a verbose to write. You know, the code itself is complex to write. And me personally, when I look at the XState, I think the biggest use case for it is when you see those diagrams and you say, oh, those diagrams, that's really easy to understand. It's much more easy to parse than the code itself that creates it. So yeah, I think it's a fantastic thing and I'm excited for that. The next one that we got here is Web3. Now, no, Wes, I don't know anything about what this Web3 thing is here. So I'm going to get out of line here. We did back and forth here, but you're going to have to tell me Web3 because I don't know what this thing is.
This is something we've had people request a couple times for shows on. I've gotten emails about it. People want me to make a course about it. And it's at that point, you know how I say, like, wait till you hear about something 15 times. I think this is probably the 15th time that I heard people. And it's basically... I'm not going to do a super good job at explaining it. And I think that we should probably have someone on the show to talk about it, but it's an Ethereum JavaScript API. So you can build apps on the blockchain using this API and it's Ethereum backed. I'm not a huge crypto head, but I have been paying attention to a lot of the Ethereum apps, not just the currency and speculating on if it's going to skyrocket, but a lot of the applications that use Ethereum as their way to pay for things and a proof of whatever. And that's what that list looks like. And there's a lot of people who are like all in, and this is why they've learned JavaScript in the first place. And this is all they're doing. And generally the like crypto bros give me a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. And like I posted a screenshot the other day and someone's like, hey, that's Binance. And I was like, oh, yeah. They're like, are you getting into crypto? And I was like, well, I have been. I just don't talk about it because the people in crypto are so insufferable.
It's the worst.
So we need to find somebody that is not like a crypto bro and is talking about, like, has tweets every 3 minutes about investing, and like literally somebody who's like, yeah, this is a really cool piece of tech. We should say the whole benefit to Web 3 is that, like, the whole idea was that Web 2.0, we're on servers, we're on Twitter, we're on somewhere where all those things can be taken down and they are at the whim of the person running it or the government of that country or your ISP. And with blockchain-based applications, they are just out there, which has its own troubles, which is like, because bad stuff can happen and it can't be taken down. And there's a lot, but then there's a lot of upsides to that as well. So,
yeah. And don't get on us either way. If you hate crypto, you love crypto. I think we're probably both pretty neutral on it, all things considered. You know, there's so much information out there about it. So, you know, I think there needs to be like a top 10 list of the most insufferable communities online. You got crypto, you got Tesla drivers. What else? We can go on and on.
CrossFit. Yeah, let's burn some more bridges while we're at it. Who else?
Yeah, who else? Who else? Who will step up to get skewered?
Yeah, and it's usually because these people are so passionate about something that most people don't understand it. And they are so far the other way and passionate about it that they come off as being obnoxious about it. A lot of people don't mean to be, but they definitely are.
Yeah.
So I've been watching it, watching the space, and sort of, I haven't built anything myself, haven't got into it, but I just keep hearing about it over and over again. So I think it's time that, especially since this is written in JavaScript, maybe it's time. Or like, I'm also thinking, like, people have been asking for a course on this all the time because there is a certain subset of people that don't necessarily care about websites, but they care about crypto. And if that's the language that you can write this stuff in, that's pretty sweet.
I'm interested in learning about it and seeing, you know, what's up there, but I don't know anything right now. So yeah, it might be interesting to at least have somebody. If you're planning on like pitching us something though, like, and you have some financial gain or whatever, don't even bother, because I don't think we're interested in that.
Yeah, that's the problem with all this crypto stuff is I get emails all the time from these people, but it's clear that they have some sort of financial gain and they're just trying to pitch their book or their service, or like there's something behind what they're doing and they're just trying to get on every single podcast in the world. So it's hard to like get into that area.
Totally. So that was the very first inaugural Get the Latest. If you like this format, you want to hear about more new stuff that comes out all the time, we can do this frequently, once a month, once every month, who knows, as long as it's interesting or exciting for you to hear about these cool new things and are interested in hearing all the new tech. You know, sometimes I think this kind of stuff can give people a little bit of a fatigue or, you know, anxiety about, you know, needing to learn all this stuff. By all means, you don't need to learn any of this stuff. But this is just a heads up that these new things are out there and exist. And if something like this, any of these things sound interesting to you, go ahead and dive a little bit deeper. Who knows? It could be that thread that pulls you into a whole new world of learning something. So as always, I think that's all I got. You got anything else?
That's it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on Wednesday.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.